Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat, into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with a wave. And for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come in unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. I accidentally touched my screen and another box popped up. That's why I hesitated there a moment. I decided not to touch it to the end. How many of us, I wonder, would like to experience some type of miracle found in the Bible? I know I would. Would you like to walk on water? I know I would. What would it be like to have that type of faith to do that? Let's look at how Peter walked on water this morning and what lessons we can learn from that. First point is, are we satisfied with little things from God? Are we satisfied with little things from God? Some Christians will never take the leap of faith that Peter did. Some people will live their whole life and never take a leap of faith. They will be content just living with little things that are happening in their life. Peter was not a perfect person, and I want to discuss that for briefly just a moment. He did not want, when Christ wanted to wash the feet of the disciples, he started washing their feet, and Peter came to Peter. Peter said, don't do that. Peter felt ashamed because he felt that I should be washing Christ's feet, not Christ washing my feet. But then when Christ finally explained to him that you're walking the earth, you're saved, but you're walking there, your feet's the only thing touching the earth, so you need a washing daily. And that's more or less what the illustration's about. And the person that's saved. Once Peter realized that, then being Peter, he went, well, wash my whole body. And that's when Christ said, no, you don't need that. See, you're saved, you just need the feet washed, because that's the part that's actually touching the earth. And that's a pretty great example of how a Christian lives their lives and how you just go to the Lord each day asking for forgiveness of sin, not because you lost your salvation, but simply because of living in the world today. But then also he denied knowing Christ three times during the trial. But one thing good about Peter was, and I don't know if you ever realized, to me this is worth a sermon in itself, Peter was the only disciple there. All the rest of them flew the coop. So at least he was there, but he did deny Christ three times, to the point, the scripture says, that he cussed. Did vulgar, it uses the word vulgar, if you read it, it will use a term there, meaning that, in other words, he literally cussed at the last one because he was so mad. But that was Peter jumping the gun. Many times, as you read it, Peter did. But you know one thing Peter did do? He was totally in love with his Savior. He was a gung-ho for his Savior. And he was growing in faith. He learned things the hard way, but he was growing. And if you think about it, I don't know if you ever read books on this and all, Basically, Peter probably was the closest disciple to Christ. He was definitely in the three that were the closest. Many Christians today are content with the little faith that they have. Some do not want to trust God for everything and to do His will. You're willing to live day to day with just little things and just pray when you have a little need to pray for something and not to be totally sold out for God. Christians want to be saved, but they want to live the way they want to until something comes up, and then we'll take that in prayer because something drastically happened in their life. Are you willing to pray and ask God for all your needs, no matter how impossible they might be? For when you're in God's will, everything is possible. And I want you to realize that this morning, among other things, that when you're in God's will and you're praying in God's will, God works in tremendous ways. The parting of the Red Sea, walking on water, whatever. And when you pray out of God's will, like the day you want to pray for your Lamborghini, you know, or whatever, and you're praying for a car you need, but you're praying the wrong thing, is what I'm getting at. Being facetious there. But when you pray in God's will, everything is possible. Are you willing to step out of the boat to do God's will? And that's what I want you to think about this morning. Are you willing to step out on the boat and walk on water for God? Do you want to walk on water with Christ? And this is the question you need to ask yourself today during this sermon. Point number two, Peter, on the other hand, wanted more. He always wanted more. He was never satisfied. Peter was never content with his life the whole time he was with Christ. He wanted to do the impossible. Do you want more in life than the average Christian? I've spoke maybe once or twice about George Mueller. And some of you may know a lot about him. Some of you may not know anything about him. But he ran a home in England back, I forget what century, 17th, 18th century? I forget what century. But and he did, ran a home. He ended up having two homes for kids. This man is known for his prayer. Everybody in the Christian realm has heard of George Mueller and the prayer warrior. No one's ever prayed more than like this guy did. To give you an example, he never even got a paycheck. And everything, he ended up having two homes that were over $1 million back in those days. And everything he got, he prayed for. Everything. He never had anything, never went out and raised money. Everything he got, he did through prayer. Now, first book I ever read when I entered the ministry. I knew where I was heading, but I wanted to make sure I was heading the right direction. And I knew he was a man of prayer, and I wanted to learn as much. What I did not realize is when I picked up the book and bought it in the bookstore, that it was an autobiography. I didn't even know he wrote a book. And I figured it was somebody else writing about George Mueller. Well, that was a blessing in disguise where God did that, because I learned some things personal that the average person would not know. But one basic lesson that really blew my mind was George Mueller believes that this was for anybody. Any Christian can live the way he can. Because I've heard in many sermons that this was God's will for him. For him to be that way and to live that way, praying and asking for everything to come in. Give you some examples. And these aren't extreme examples. This is everyday examples. There would be days when they've served breakfast. Then by 10 o'clock, some of his people come in and say, listen, we have no food for the kids. None whatsoever. We don't even have a breadcrumb. And you know what George Mueller would do? He'd go in his room and he'd pray. An hour later, maybe, he'd come out. Well, anything happened? No. Go back into the room again. Pray for another 30 minutes. Come back out. Well, anything? No, nothing happened. Well, now it's 11:30. He goes back in, prays another for 15 minutes, comes back out. And he's praying the whole time now. Not just sitting in his room. He's praying to God all this time. Comes back out. No, nothing. And 11:55, they get a knock at the door. And these people say, listen, we had all this extra food. Can you use it? And they feed the kids. This didn't happen one time. This happened continuously, over and over again. He never had a salary. He never went out on a deputation to raise money. Sometimes people would come in. I read one time where the church, people were given money. You know, say, here, give it to George Mueller. Well, someone forgot to give it to George Mueller. Maybe weeks later, well, what happened? The moment the guy came in and said, George, by the way, here's some money that was supposed to be given to you. It was exactly at the moment he needed that he'd been praying for the money. And he ended up having two huge homes for children and spent his whole life bringing in the money by being on his knees. And he says, every Christian can do that. Here's the problem. We choose not to. We don't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to choose not to do it. We simply don't do it. We don't live the life the way Peter was living, where he wasn't afraid to get off that boat and walk towards the Lord once God says, come on. And the question is, today is what you choose to do. Now, here's what happens with us. You get a bill, you don't have the money. What's the first thing you do? You go to the Lord in prayer. But you get another bill, and you got the money sitting in the bank, and you never pray to the Lord. You never say, Lord, thank you for having the money there. I'm going to use this money to pray that. You don't go to the Lord and pray for that. You should, but you don't. Because you rely on yourself then, because the money's sitting there in the bank. You see what I'm getting at here and where we're coming from? Do you really believe that God can do what he asked you to do as a Christian? You've got to come to that realization. Now, here's something I want you to realize about Peter and this situation here. First thing is, the boat was in the midst of the sea. Now, what I did was, I don't know the actual route that they took. So what I did was, I took the Sea of Galilee and then went across. And it's 6 miles wide at the widest point. Now, they could have went on an angle. They could have went up. I don't know if it's there for me to find out, but I didn't have that much time, so I decided to do a generalization. It's much longer than it is wide, so it's way longer. But I figured, let's just go across. So we can conservatively say they were 3 miles out, because it says that they were in the midst, in the very middle. Number one, think about that now. Number two, in verse 24, it says, God tells us that there was a storm going on. It says the boat's rocking back and forth. The waves, the wind, it talks about all that there. So this is pretty good storm going on. And what I understand from history, to this day in the Sea of Galilee, because of the way the mountain ranges are and all, what happens is a storm comes off, comes down, and you can be in perfect weather one moment, and 10 minutes later be in the worst storm you could ever imagine. It comes up that quick in the Sea of Galilee. So I don't think they went deliberately out there in the storm to start off with. They would have probably waited. It came up while they were there. Now, what I'm saying here and why I brought that up, I want you to think about this. This is not the ideal conditions to be stepping out of a boat and walking on water for the first time. It's not even the ideal conditions had I walked on water before and I'm about to go out again. This was the worst possible condition to step out on a boat and walk on water. It wasn't ideal, it was the worst. And Peter steps out on that water in the worst possible condition. Peter loved Christ so much, and I honestly believe this is what took place. He sees Christ. He realizes it is Christ. He asks Christ, can I come out? Christ says, come on out. He wasn't even thinking about the storm. He was so excited about being with his Savior. And if you read about the history of Peter in the Bible, you'll realize this man was sold out for Christ. He might have did stupid things, but he was still sold out for Christ. We all can do stupid things and still really love the Lord and be sold out. And Peter didn't even think about the storm at that moment. He didn't think about the waves. He was just so excited he was going to walk out in the hot water towards Christ. And he did. He had a personal relationship with God. He was so much in love, as we should be. And we should have that personal relationship. We should be so close that if he just speaks and says, do this, you don't say, well, I don't know if I have time. What a reaction should be is, I will be glad to do it. No thought of what might be a problem with you. You put him first. Number one, you don't even think twice about it. You jump at it. That's the way Peter did things. Knowing that if we trust him, we were going to be in safe hands. Now, next point. Are you going to let the cares of this world cause you to sink? Peter let the things around him cause him to fail. Now think about it. He jumps out of the boat, not thinking about the storm. But once he gets out there and starts walking, what's he do? He takes his eyes off of Christ and he sees the wave. Now all of a sudden, he's worrying about the wave. And what happens? He starts sinking because he doubts now. Why? He's not looking at Christ. He's not doing the same thing he did when he jumped off that boat and got on that water. He took his eyes off of it. Christ's answer to Peter when he started sinking was, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why? Because he took his eyes off of Christ, he started looking at the things around him. What do? We sit there and we start praying. We start looking to God about a problem. And you know what's the first thing we do? I'm trying to think of things in my life and use my example. I pray. I don't see nothing happening. I was waiting for something Saturday to come into the mail that I ordered to take with me to Daytona. So what happens? I go out there when they normally would be there. Didn't come. Oh, bummer. You know, I'm disappointed. And that's what happens sometimes we do when we pray to God. Things don't come our way and we get disappointed. And next thing you know, we're backing off. We're taking our eyes off of Christ. And we shouldn't be. Christ and God will do everything in the proper time. We just don't know the future like he does. He knows exactly when to do it. Whether he's going to test our faith to see how well. Let's face it, he was testing Peter's faith. He apparently had enough faith to get out of the boat and start walking. He did walk on water, so he did have the faith, but he took his eyes off the Lord once he got out there. We got to be careful when we're looking to serve God that we don't take our eyes off of him at any moment. As George Mueller did. Did nothing happen? Okay. Get back in. Get back on your knees. Continue praying. Until it does happen. And I will tell you this. You know, I just funnily said Lamborghini. If you're truly in the will of God, and you're doing all that you can, and you really do have fellowship with the Lord, you'll be praying in the will of God, and you would never ask God for a Lamborghini. It would never enter your mind to do it. And if I know my God and what he's done for me, you'd be praying for transportation, and sometimes God gives you the Lamborghini. Because he gave me two bikes that just blows me away. And you know what always blows me away? As trivial as you may find this to believe, he gave me two black bikes. And that's the only color I like in a motorcycle. And that may sound goofy, but that's in my heart. I love black. That we got to be careful with the deadline coming up in our lives. That the deadline gets closer and closer to something that we're praying about. And what do we start doing? We start taking our eyes off of God and we start looking at the situation. We may even start thinking how we're going to resolve the situation while we're waiting on God. And Christ will say, why did you take your eyes off of me? Why did you doubt by looking elsewhere? I want you to notice something here. First, Peter asked Christ if he could come out and walk on water. He asked him. He spoke to Christ. What is that? That's prayer. Prayer is talking to your God. Number two, Peter waited on Christ for an answer. He didn't just jump out on the boat. He waited for Christ to give him an answer. And thirdly, think about this. It's safer to be with Christ on the water in the storm than to be in that boat without Christ during that storm. But you got to keep your eyes on Christ. So the question today is, are you content to live a little bit of faith and trust God once in a while? Or whether you can put God first in your life with everything. Even if you have the money and have the wherewithal to do what you need to do. Attorney Gibbs. How many here know Attorney Gibbs? He was the first attorney to be on the side of the Christian school movement in the United States. Anyhow, he asked the question when he first went to go to court because the state didn't want that to occur. This happened a long time ago. He says, how do you teach Christ through, he said, like, how about English? He says, I understand maybe history, you know, because you have the history, which we do not get in. I mean, they don't teach us history of Solomon, you know, and all these people that we know that existed in history. We don't get any of that in school. But how do you do it in English? And I thought the answer was pretty cool. And you can apply this to anything, whether it's math or whatever. He says, how you prepare a letter when you send it to somebody? Is it Christ-honored letter? Is the English right? The sentence structure right? Is it something that brings honor to God? You can put through Christ through every subject there is, if you take the time to really think about it. And he went in there and won the case. It was the Ohio, by the way, if I remember right. They call it the Ohio story. I just remember that. My mind's slow, but it's there. Will you trust God and step out on faith to walk on water? That's my challenge to you today. Remember, Peter prayed if it was God's will before stepping out. And we should always pray that what we ever do, we do in God's will. We must make sure it is in God's will before we ask that. And if you're not sure, at least pray that way to God. Say, God, this is what I like, and I think this would be good. Because when I had a chance to witness to a preacher, came up to me at Biketoberfest one year. I don't remember the guy's name. And he says, I'm preacher such and such. And he asked me about what I'm doing and all. He said, oh, man, this is really good and all. And just before he was finished, ready to leave, I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. And I said, do you know Christ is your personal Savior? And it just floored him. He said, I told you I'm a preacher. And I said, yeah, but that doesn't make you saved. And he turned around and said, you know, that's a good point. And he gave me his testimony. He was saved. And it was a blessing. And then he walked away. He says, you taught me something today. And he walked away. And what I'm trying to say is, there are preachers out there today that are pastors of churches that may have 1,000, 2,000 people, and they're out of the will of God. God might be a deacon of a church and out of the will of God. He might be a Sunday school teacher and be out of the will of God. Not that what they're doing is bad. The position is not bad. It's just that person shouldn't be doing what they're doing. And I'm afraid to say that I think, and I don't know this for sure, but I think I know a friend personally right now. I've known him for a long time, and I know that he kept wanting to do something with the Lord. And he's finally doing it. And I don't think he needs to be there. And he's doing it in this town. And he's a good guy. He's got a great heart. But I don't know if he's in God's will. And he may be. But what I've known from him in the past and how he acted, people can do that. You can do a good thing and not be in the will of God. One person said to me, Thomas Gillespie. I was going to ask you who it was. Thomas Gillespie. I was working in my shop. And I was doing the ministry part-time. When I say the ministry, I wasn't in the minute. I wasn't considering I was doing it. I was doing Bible studies. I did one in Hendersonville and one here during that time. And then I was doing some of the rallies and just going there, handing out stuff with a couple guys. It wasn't technically a ministry. And well, anyhow, I finally made a decision to go full-time. And Thomas Gillespie said this to me. I'll never forget it. He said, "Glenn, I knew God wanted you to do that a year ago." And I said, "Well, I didn't know." But he felt that it did. He knew me pretty close because he was running a part of the shop that I was in from me. I was running. He was a pretty nice guy. And I just thought that was funny that he saw something I didn't see. But I knew one thing. I had to be absolutely sure that this is what God wanted me to do. And I didn't want to jump into something and then find out it wasn't God's will. I wanted to be sure, because if it was in God's will, he was going to have to take care of me financially. When I was in college, preacher boys class, we kept hearing stories of preacher boys that were dragging their families through the gutter. One, actually, Dr. Bob, got up one day and he was really mad. This was the third. He was really mad. And they had a preacher boys class, so it was once a week. And he was mad. And he finally brought up that there was a preacher. He didn't mention who he was or nothing. That had his wife and kids living in a tent so he could go to college. To me, that's wrong. And Dr. Bob thought it was wrong. He was really mad about that. He says, "You've got to have common sense here, you know." And now, we didn't have a lot when we were going there, but we were living in a place. We had food. Once or twice, we almost didn't have food. But God kept bringing that money and supplied the need to us. And especially the one time, Thanksgiving, we got a gift, a Thanksgiving basket, and it was delivered to us while she's cooking a Thanksgiving dinner. She was so embarrassed. And we felt bad about it, but we figured God gave it to us for a reason. So what we did was we split it among a lot of our friends that were going to college too, and we split it up among about four or five different couples. If it was up to Peter to ask Christ, it should be up to us to ask God. And when we can ask God for the impossible. We can ask God to walk on water. And if it's God's will, he's going to tell you to go ahead and walk on water. And I want you to think about this today. Because God is full of the impossible. There's so many things there. I would have loved to this day. The biggest thing for me is to be able to walk across the parting of the Red Sea. That would be for me, personally. To see those waves and that stuff sitting up there and walking on dry ground. And even when they crossed the Jordan, it said the same thing, that they walked on dry ground. And as if I remember one of my sermons that I did about that, that was during the flood time of the Jordan, which means it was way wider than normal. And yet they walked on dry ground. That's just, to me, just mind-blowing. And here you got Peter walking on water. By the way, this took place roughly 3 o'clock in the morning. It was late. Which goes to show you one other thing in closing. Christ told him to get on the boat and go. Christ goes up in the mountain, and what does he do? God, in the flesh, has to take time to pray to the Father. And he doesn't pray for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. He prays for hours and hours. And finally comes walking across roughly 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, if prayer is that important for him, how much more important it is for us? Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.